This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman. It's a reality facing an increasing number of families each year. The time when it makes sense to move out of a home, one that may contain decades of accumulated memories and treasures, and into an apartment at a retirement community or assisted living center. It can be an overwhelming experience for many. We're going to discuss how to ease the physical and emotional stress of downsizing to a smaller living space. My guests are Betsy Goldfarb, owner of Queen City Transitions, and clinical psychologist Dr. Jerome Gabbas of Legacy Psychological Services. You can join our conversation, maybe share a story or ask a question that you have about this process at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later, Howard Wilkinson interviews Red's great Ken Griffey Sr. about his new book. But first, we're going to talk about downsizing. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
Betsy, let's start with you. Tell me your interest in this area. How did this become something that you were interested in?
Well, my background is psychology. I have a BA in psychology from the University of Michigan. And in my past life, I owned a retail store and learned how to pack and ship. And you never know what you're going to do with the things you learn. And so when my cousin suggested we help people downsize, I looked into it and I found the National Association of Senior Move Managers, which is a growing industry, started with 22 members in 2002 and now has over 800. And so over the years, my team and I have mastered the art of moving overwhelmed seniors to smaller apartments and helping them feel at home the moment they walk into the door.
And how long have you been doing that?
I'm in my sixth year.
Okay. Dr. Gabbas, we talk about this in terms of downsizing, but underlying all this has to be that we as a society tend to be attached to our stuff, no matter what age we are.
Right. And we're also living longer, too. You know, years ago, people would die before they had the opportunity of downsizing. Or perhaps they were living in multi-generational homes where the father and mother were living there, or the father would pass away, the mother would stay. And so the children inherited the stuff because they inherited the house. But nowadays, it's becoming more and more prevalent because people are living longer. And so they have to kind of face this task whenever they're in the process of transitioning from one place to the next.
Is this perhaps something that's gotten worse as people's incomes have improved, that they're able to afford more stuff?
I don't think it's a matter of what they can afford. It's a matter of getting into situations, like Dr. Gabbas said, about people getting inheritances from people, and you have the things that your mom left you. But also, it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of feelings about their things. So I've found over the years that when I downsize somebody, it's not moving their stuff, is a matter of helping them deal with the feelings they have about their things.
Yeah, it's not getting worse. It's getting more common. It's getting more common in terms of the number of people who are having to make these moves. Plus, there's a great marketing effort by assisted living facilities to attract people, and it's a very important need, so they're facing this task more commonly.
Does this typically start, I'm imagining a couple, and perhaps one passes and then the other one decides, okay, now it's time to downsize. Do you find that it is more of a someone who is a widower as opposed to couples who are downsizing, or is it about the same couples and single folks?
Over the past 6 years, the majority of my clients have been singles. I am amazed at the number of 90-year-olds I moved last year, probably over a dozen, to independent living facilities, not even assisted living facilities, because people are living longer. What I find is the couples sometimes downsize earlier than one of the individuals would have so that they can stay together and one of them can have more care.
And sometimes it's a task for couples to negotiate whether or not they want to. I know that a husband may want to, but the wife is digging in her heels and might be attached to her kitchen if she was a housewife, for example. Housewives have a harder time leaving or downsizing because that's their their place of employment is their home, and they have more sentimental attachment to their homes.
Although, Dr. Gabus, I have found that when there is the opportunity to not cook, as independent living and assisted living offers the women, that they are more willing to say, okay, I'm done with the kitchen. And that's not always the case, but it depends on the situation.
So it's a relief.
It's a relief.
It's a relief. Mm-hmm.
We are talking about downsizing to a smaller living space. If you've had a good experience or a bad experience that you'd like to share, 513-419-7100. Again, 513-419-7100. Or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Let's talk a little bit about the process. Some of the literature I was given to prepare for this, a couple of things over and over that I read, this has to be a happy thing. So how do you make it a happy thing?
Well, I would first preface it by providing a choice for folks. If it's imposed on someone, either by circumstances, by something that they don't have control over, then it's not a happy thing. It represents a significant loss. But if someone has a choice, then they're more likely to look at it as maybe as a gain, to help preserve their independence versus something being taken away. So when you can get them to make a choice for this, then that predisposes it for adaptation.
And the other thing is, moving and downsizing is one of the most stressful things for anybody, and it's exacerbated in the elders. So when I go through the process of talking with people who want to downsize, I try to give them as much control as they can in the situation, and I make them a step-by-step plan to walk them through the process, including a floor plan to help them figure out how the furniture will fit. And once they know what they can take, then they can feel better about what they're leaving behind.
There was also some talk about using the right words, and if you use the right words, people tend to be more willing to let go. What, I guess, if you can describe some of that right wording or right phrasing?
Yes. The way I approach it with some of my clients, I work in long-term care facilities, and sometimes someone is moving from an independent living situation to an assisted living or from assisted living to skilled nursing. One of the things is we try to help people stay functional as long as they can with what they've got. So if you sometimes define it in terms of a functional capacities, it operationalizes it so that they can sink their teeth into that. And another way to do that is to preserve their independence versus to lose their independence. So that's a hard one to sell. But it, in fact, is true.
When I think about downsizing, people who are living in certain situations, it becomes more difficult. I very often come in contact with people who live in hoarding situations or challenging disorganization situations. And I know hoarding has a very negative connotation, and many people don't necessarily identify with that themselves. Some people call themselves collectors and other things. So I try very hard to use the term that they use about themselves while keeping them on task to determine how they're going to do, how we're going to do the downsizing.
It's a very overwhelming time to think about how they're going to, you know, this is a life accumulation of stuff in front of them, and they have limited energy to do this, like they're not young and vital anymore. And they can't think about things. Some of these folks have dementia, their onset of dementia, and they know they can't do it by themselves. So one of the most important things I find that is helpful is that they know they have someone there by their side. And I think, Betsy, that's what you experience when you're in the process of doing this. People say, I'm so happy that you're here with me to help me do this.
Because that's true.
Does it work better with an outside consultant as perhaps family members?
Absolutely, because I'm not emotionally attached to the stuff, and I'm not emotionally attached to my clients the way their adult children are. Many times the adult children don't want to handle this. They're busy with their own careers and their own families.
And I think you talked before we went on the air, and a lot of times they really don't want the stuff.
They don't want the stuff either. I tell them to take it anyway, though, as much as they can, because it does relieve some of the stress of the elders having to downsize their things.
Or by the time people come to us, Betsy, they're also embroiled in conflict with their children over a number of different
issues.
You know, finally getting mom to move, and so they may not have a collaborative relationship in place to send this big load across this bridge.
That's true.
If they have the relationship in place, that really predisposes to a better kind of transition.
513-419-7100. If you have a question, we are joined by Jim, who is a truck driver, and he's passing through from Utah. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I've got a quick question, actually. It may not be too quick, but recently, this last summer, my mom passed away. My dad grew up in a very poor family in Idaho, and he is a bit of a hoarder. And my mom kept him in check all of these years. And he recently told me, you know, I'm moving to this 55 or older community, which I thought was fantastic. I thought, oh, great, we can get rid of some of this stuff. But, of course, when he moved, supposedly downsizing, he took everything with him. And so now he is in this smaller community, but he still has everything. And I know that, you know, he's having a hard time. He's not ready to let go of the stuff yet, but I'm concerned that when it comes time for him to pass away, if we don't get this in check now, that there's going to be a vast amount of stuff for me to work through. And so I'm trying to get him to do that now, but I need to know, is there anything I can do to help move this along?
That's a very interesting question, something that we come across very often. And what I found in that situation is you need to realize that this is your father's stuff, and he does have some control over the situation. And Dr. Gabus and I work together collaboratively in these situations very often, and I'm going to pass it over to him.
Well, sometimes I try to help a person determine what they want to have their place look like and what they want it to feel like. So if you can kind of work with him in terms of what do you really need, Dad, and how often do you use this? What would it be like for you? How could you live without it? When was the last time you used it? Or what do you want to make your apartment like? What functions do you want to have in your apartment? Do you want it to be, you want to have friends come in? Do you want to be able to entertain? So I try to keep it at a functional level.
And I found, though, when the emotions sometimes are not the way to get to the people who are doing this, because I have found that sometimes a diamond ring has this as much value as a piece of paper. And so the collections that your dad has might have more meaning to him than you realize.
Jim, we appreciate your call. Again, if you have a question, 513-419-7100. He talked about a spouse dying. If that's the case, when is the appropriate time to have a conversation? How much time do you need to allow the remaining spouse to grieve before you start having these conversations? Or I guess, it could depend situation to situation on the person.
Well, they almost always coincide with some kind of event. Most people kind of wait for events to accumulate before there's a critical mass to make this decision. So you can't really expect to have a pure, uncomplicated time where you can sit down and think about this in the absence of all this other stuff. So I think that you certainly give folks a time to out of the acute grief, where there's a residual grief, and that would be, you know, like a month to 6 weeks, where you can say, you know, Dad or Mom, you know, things have been changing, and I really understand how difficult it is to live without Dad or Mom, and to kind of empathize with them and move in that direction.
What Jim might find is that the senior retirement community residential director might get involved in the situation. Dr. Gabus and I have been called in a number of times to help people who are living in that kind of environment, and it's not a safe environment for the residents. It's the EMTs can't get in sometimes if there's an emergency, and sometimes there are infestations that are caused by this, so they don't let it go too far. So he might not have to do anything. It might happen for him.
Correct.
What about when, you know, the kids live out of town? Certainly this is much more difficult, and I suppose that's where your service comes in. Basically, you step in.
I'm the surrogate daughter. I'm the surrogate daughter for some of out-of-town people. I just got a call today from somebody who, with her sibling, who lives in out-of-state also, is helping her father downsize. And what I can do is go in and make the plan, a step-by-step plan with the senior, and help them figure out exactly what their goals are. And then to achieve those goals, we do the floor plan. I hire and oversee the movers. I have a team that will help the pack up the all the things that are going to get moved so that the senior can sleep in their home the day we pack. And then the next morning, my movers will come in and we relocate to the new apartment, make the bed, hang the pictures, remove all the packing material, and sometimes even recreate vignettes so what's on the shelves in their old house is on the shelves in their new house. It looks exactly the same. So the day my clients move, that's the day they come home.
How pushy can you get with that? If you run into a client perhaps that, you know, has way more stuff and they just will not let go, how do you handle that situation? I mean, obviously, if you have, you know, a two-story house that's full, you're not going to fit that into a one-bedroom apartment.
It's a communication issue. And I don't get too I have to be firm, and I have to show them how their furniture is going to fit, and then ask them what their preferences are, and then tell them if I think they're taking too much, that there might be things that we can't unpack. Or if we do unpack, it's going to take longer, which costs more money. And a lot of times, the money issue is what gets them to say, okay, I won't take those things.
Quickly, before we run out of time here, we just got a couple of minutes left. I think also before we went on the air, you said, Dr. Gabus, the real answer to this thing is not to get in this situation in the first place.
Right. If you can anticipate it, this is one of the characteristics of resilience. This is what we're talking about. People who are resilient, if they can plan ahead at the time so that they have the choice and their backs are not to the wall, or there is not an unanticipated crisis like a death or the emergence of dementia or some kind of, or even depression, you know, even depression. So if folks can take care of this ahead of time, it's certainly much better. I remember my own mother, she passed away in 2006, and my father died 1986. And in between the time that he passed away and the time that she passed away, she cleared out her house of much of the stuff. And after she passed away, we were able to go into her house and clean it out in a weekend.
Betsy, in just about 20 seconds, some final downsizing tips.
As Dr. Gabus said, it's never too early to start. And just take it step by step and try to do the move when you have a choice and not when it's in a crisis situation.
We've been discussing how to ease the physical and emotional stress of downsizing to a smaller living space. My guests were Betsy Goldfarb, owner of Queen City Transitions, and clinical psychologist Dr. Jerome Gabus of Legacy Psychological Services. You'll find links to additional information and their sites at WVXU.org. Coming up after the break, Howard Wilkinson interviews Reds great Ken Griffey Sr. about his new book and Major League Baseball career. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.